Welcome back to the Deep Dive. It is February 18th, 2026. And I really think we can finally stop calling it a Cold War.
Oh, it has definitely turned hot. The armistice is officially over.
We have moved so far past skirmishes. I mean, we are looking at heavy silicon artillery being deployed on a global scale.
Yeah.
We're talking about the Sony PS5 Pro Max and, of course, the Microsoft Xbox Series X Elite. And looking at the stack of research and spec sheets you've pulled together, this feels different.
It really is. You know, in the past, you were basically choosing between like Mario and Sonic, right? Or Master Chief and Kratos.
It was about the mascot on the box.
Exactly. It was about the mascot. But this time, we are looking at two totally distinct, almost contradictory engineering philosophies on how to break that barrier between reality and simulation.
And the stakes for you listening right now are actually pretty high. The economy is, well, let's just say entertainment budgets are squeezed tight.
Yeah.
Buying a console this generation is a massive investment.
A huge one. And if you choose the wrong one, it's not just, you know, a harmless mistake. You are effectively committing yourself to a lesser experience for the next 5, maybe 7 years. You're locking yourself in.
So our mission today is to perform a ruthless surgical autopsy on these two machines. We're going to ignore the marketing numbers because, as we'll see, they often lie and figure out which one of these beasts actually delivers.
No, crack them open.
Okay, so we have to start with the brain, the heart of the machine. Now, on paper, if I just look at the spec sheet without any context, these two look identical. Both are running on AMD's Zen 6 architecture.
Right.
So a casual observer might just go, it's the same chip, same performance.
And they would be so wrong. This is a classic case of how you implement the silicon. It's the same engine block, sure, but it's tuned for two completely different kinds of races.
Right. So let's look at Sony first. They've gone with this whole burst speed concept. Mm-hmm. What does that actually look like under the hood?
Well, burst is the key word there. Sony's engineers, you know, led by Cerny, they looked at how games actually run in 2026, and they realized that gaming workloads are incredibly spiky.
Mm.
Nothing happens for a bit, and then everything happens at once. So the PS5 Pro Max runs an 8-core CPU that targets a variable frequency of 4.4 gigahertz.
Which is incredibly high for a console. I mean, that's pushing into high-end PC territory.
It is, but notice I said variable. It's designed like a sprinter. It idles, it preserves energy, and then when the code demands it, boom, it hits that 4.4 gigahertz peak to just crush the workload instantly.
And we have a concrete example of this in the notes, right? With Civilization 7.
Civ 7th is the perfect stress test for this. It's so CPU heavy, and the testing shows that in those initial loading phases, and specifically during shader compilation, which, let's be honest, is the most boring part of modern gaming.
The worst.
The Sony architecture just chews right through it.
It's beating the Xbox by, what, a solid 3 seconds on boot?
Yeah, right. Because it can spike to that 4.4 gigahertz ceiling instantly. It sees a hurdle, and it just jumps over it with explosive power.
But then you have Microsoft. And they look at the same AMD chip and said, no, we don't want spikes.
They went for the marathon runner approach. The Xbox Series X Elite locks the frequency at 4.2 gigahertz.
So it's slower at the peak.
Slower peak, yes. But it never fluctuates. It provides a guaranteed cycle count every single second. And if you stick with Civilization the 7th, you see exactly why that matters.
The late game. The dread of turn 300.
Exactly. Anyone who plays 4X strategy games knows this pain. The map is full. The AI has to calculate 1,000 moves for every single faction.
You press next turn, and usually you have time to go make a sandwich before it even comes back to you.
Usually, yes. But the Xbox pulls ahead here. Because it isn't throttling down to manage heat or power, it just churns through that math at a constant, relentless rate. In those endurance scenarios, the Xbox is about 5% faster, and more importantly, the frame timing is more stable.
Okay, so if I can oversimplify this.
Yeah.
If you want to load in fast and get to the action immediately, Sony has the edge. But if you want the simulation to run smoothly when the world gets super complicated and heavy, Xbox has the muscle.
That's a fair simplification of the CPU battle, yeah. But that's only half the equation. We have to talk about the GPU.
The graphics. And this is where I feel like the marketing teams are just setting people up for confusion. Because I looked at the numbers. Xbox, 18 teraflops. Sony, 16.5.
And in the old days, we just stopped there. 18 is bigger than 16.5. Game over, Xbox wins.
But you're calling this the teraflop trap, so why shouldn't we trust the bigger number?
Because raw numbers don't account for efficiency. This is where we see Mark Cerny's influence on the PlayStation architecture just really shining. He didn't just buy a stock GPU from AMD, he customized the silicon.
This is that narrow and fast philosophy you've been reading about.
Exactly. The PS5 Pro Max actually uses fewer compute units than the Xbox. Now, that sounds like a downgrade, but they run those fewer units at a terrifying clock speed of 2.8 gigahertz.
Okay, help me visualize this. Why is fewer but faster better than more but slower?
Think of a checkout line at a huge grocery store. Xbox opens 20 lanes, but the cashiers are moving at a normal, steady pace.
Okay.
Sony opens only 15 lanes, but the cashiers are absolutely wired on caffeine and moving at double speed.
Okay, I like that image. I get that.
The benefit is what we call cache flushing. In modern rendering, especially with ray tracing, data gets stuck in the GPU's memory. If you run the clock speed super high, like those caffeinated cashiers, you flush that data out, get the customers out of the store much, much faster.
And the real-world application here, looking at the sources, is GTA Z6.
Precisely. GTA Z streams in massive amounts of texture data as you're, you know, flying through the city at 100 miles per hour. Because Sony's cashiers are clearing the line so fast, the textures load noticeably quicker. You don't get that pop-in on buildings.
But the Xbox still has that raw power advantage with the 18 teraflops. That has to count for something, right?
It absolutely counts. And where that sheer width of power shows up is in resolution stability. The Xbox maintains native 4K with much greater consistency. It might not load the texture quite as instantly, but the image integrity is rock solid. It almost never drops resolution to keep the frame rate up.
So Sony gives you the speed of the assets, but Xbox gives you the clarity of the image.
That is the trade-off, exactly.
Now, connected to this is the memory. And I feel like this is one of those things people just gloss over because RAM sounds boring, but it's huge.
It is the artery of the system. If the RAM is clogged, it doesn't matter how fast your CPU is. And again, two different philosophies. Microsoft went for a unified, massive pool.
24 gigabytes of GDDR7.
With 800 gigabytes per second of bandwidth. It is a brute force solution. It's a massive bucket of super fast memory that the games and the OS all swim in together.
Which explains why Quick Resume is still so good on Xbox.
It's the undisputed champion. You can suspend 4-5 heavy games, Call of Duty, Fable, Forza, and swap between them instantly because that memory pool is just so incredibly deep.
But Sony did something kind of weird here. They split the memory.
They did a hybrid approach. So they have a 20 gigabyte of GDDR7 for the games, a little less than Xbox. But then they physically soldered a separate 4GB chip of DDR5 just for the operating system.
So the OS has its own private lane on the highway.
Exactly. And the user benefit is subtle, but it's significant. Have you ever been playing a game that's really pushing the system and you press the home button to check a message and the whole menu stutters?
Oh, all the time on the old consoles. It just lags for a second.
That happens because the UI is fighting the game for memory. On the PS5 Pro Max, that never happens. No matter how heavy the explosion is on screen, you hit that PlayStation button, the UI is buttery smooth.
That is a quality of life feature you don't really appreciate until you see it. Okay, let's move from the guts of the machine to the thing we actually hold, the controllers.
This is a battleground where both sides have made huge strides, but in, like, very different directions.
I have to say, as someone who owns the original DualSense, my biggest gripe was the battery. I felt like I was charging it every 3 hours. But the DualSense Edge V2...
They finally fixed it. 12 hours of battery life. It's respectable now. But the real magic is still the haptics. They've upgraded the tech to be multi-layered.
The review notes mention specifically the sensation of walking on sand versus walking on snow.
Right. It can distinguish between those textures. It uses different frequencies of vibration to trick your fingertips. It's not just rumble anymore. It's tactile.
That sounds incredible for immersion. But then I look at the Xbox Elite V3, and am I seeing this right? It has a screen on it.
It's an engineering masterpiece. They've embedded a small, high-res OLED screen right on the face of the controller.
Is that just a gimmick, though? I mean, who looks down at their hands while they're playing?
I thought so, too, at first. But the killer app is Macros. The source specifically mentions Monster Hunter Wilds.
Okay, yeah, that's a game where you need, like, 3 fingers just to pull off a combo.
Exactly. With the OLED screen, you can program complex macro commands. You can just swipe or tap the screen to execute a complicated button combination instantly. For a certain type of hardcore player, that is a lifesaver.
So Sony wins on feel and immersion, but Xbox wins on control and utility.
That's a really good way to put it.
And speaking of immersion, we have to address the elephant in the room. virtual reality.
Or the lack thereof on one side. Mm-hmm. Microsoft has completely vacated the field. There is no VR strategy for the Xbox Series X Elite.
Which is surprising, really, given their history with HoloLens. But Sony is doubling down with the PSVR 3.
They are, and this connects back to that custom chip design we talked about. The PS5 Pro Max has a dedicated image compression block just for VR. It allows for 8K quality at 120 frames per second.
Wait, 8K at 120 FPS. That's basically passing the visual Turing test.
It is the blurring of the line we talked about at the start. If you want total immersion, if you want to be inside the game world, Sony is your only rational choice. There is no competition here.
And what about audio? Because I love good audio, but I really hate proprietary formats.
Well, Sony is still pushing their Tempest 2.0 engine. They claim it can simulate the sound of a water drop falling from 50 meters away.
That is a wildly specific marketing claim.
It is. But in testing, the sound separation was unparalleled. You can pinpoint exactly where a sound is coming from. However, Xbox made a smarter business move here.
They just went with Dolby, right?
They included a free built-in license for Dolby Atmos for headphones. It used to be a paid extra. Now it's standard.
Which is great because Dolby is the cinema standard. If you have a soundbar or a home theater system, the Xbox just works with it.
Exactly. It plays nicer with the rest of your living room.
Okay, let's talk about the box itself. Because we are putting this thing in our living rooms. It's basically furniture at this point.
Or in the case of the Xbox, luxury furniture.
It really does look like a matte black cube. Very minimalist.
It does. Hey. But they've added this really cool touch where the top fan projects the iconic green light up onto the ceiling. It's subtle, atmospheric.
Whereas Sony screams, "I am a gamer."
It's slimmer than the last model, sure, but it has that customizable RGB lighting. And get this, it changes color based on your in-game health.
Wait, so if I'm dying in Call of Duty, my console physically turns red.
It bleeds with you.
That is intense. Maybe a bit distracting.
It can be. But let's talk about the cost of that intensity, which is heat. These things are pumping out serious power.
They have to be heat factories.
They are. Both consoles consume around 350 watts at peak.
That's literally a small space heater.
It is. Your room will get warm. But for cooling, Xbox wins on silence. They used a massive vapor chamber and a 10% larger fan. You can play Black Ops 7 for 4 hours, and the thing is whisper quiet.
And Sony.
They stuck with liquid metal and a massive copper heat sink. Interestingly, it actually runs about 2 degrees cooler than the Xbox in tests, but you pay for it with noise. It's slightly audible in a dead silent room.
So Xbox is hotter but quieter.
Yeah.
Sony is cooler but louder. Before we move off the hardware, I have to mention connectivity. Because this actually matters to me. Sony put dual USB-C ports on the front.
With 65-watt fast charging.
That is a game changer. You can charge the controller in 15 minutes. Or your phone.
It's very convenient. Xbox, on the other hand, stuck with the proprietary expansion card slot.
Which is expensive.
It is pricey. But it is also the definition of plug and play. You pull it out of one Xbox, plug it into another, and your games are just there. No screwdriver needed.
Okay, we've dissected the body. Now let's look at the soul. The games, the ecosystem. We know Game Pass is a juggernaut.
Still the king of value. And now that they own Activision Blizzard, getting Call of Duty day one on the service, that is a value proposition that is just so hard to beat.
But Sony has this new thing, PlayStation Plus AI. This sounds, honestly, it sounds a little wild.
It's probably the most futuristic feature of this generation. The system uses a local AI model to watch you play. If you get stuck, it generates a custom video guide specifically for your situation.
So it's a co-pilot.
It is a co-pilot. And this is sparking a huge debate. For a casual gamer who just wants to see the story, it's revolutionary. No more looking up walkthroughs or scrubbing through YouTube videos.
But the hardcore players.
They hate it. They are calling it cheating.
I can see that. Back in my day, we had to suffer.
Exactly. But it shows Sony is trying to innovate in how we play, not just what we play.
And speaking of what we play, the exclusives. This feels like the classic battle lines are drawn again.
They are very distinct. Sony is the sultan of cinematic narratives. You have Wolverine, you have Ghost of Tsushima 2. These are breathtaking 10 to 15 hour experiences that look and feel like movies.
And Xbox is the army of variety.
Right. Fable, Gear 6, Elder Scrolls 6. If you want a 100 hour RPG to get lost in for months, Xbox is your paradise.
It really does feel like they've carved out their niches. Sony's for the intense directed experience. Xbox is for the sprawling open world.
And that brings us to practical realities. Can you actually buy one?
Yeah, the supply chain is still a mess.
Well, it depends on where you live. The supply chain for the PS5 Pro Max seems more robust in Europe and Asia. You can find them on shelves.
But here in North America,
Xbox has stronger adoption here, largely due to the all-access financing. It's just easier to get an Xbox on a payment plan in the U.S., which helps with that squeezed budget we talked about.
And what if I travel a lot? A digital nomad.
Xbox wins there, hands down. The xCloud integration is just superior. You can play on your console, then pick up right where you left off on your laptop or phone. Sony has remote play, but the cloud infrastructure just isn't on the same level as Microsoft's.
Now, we touched on the power consumption, the 350 watts.
The space heater in the room.
Is there any mitigation for that?
Xbox has a smarter eco mode. It'll schedule those massive game downloads for off-peak hours when electricity might be cheaper.
That's smart. Sony uses recycled plastics, though, right?
They do, in the console body. But Microsoft has 100% plastic-free packaging, so you kind of have to pick your environmental battle.
So we've looked at the CPU, the GPU, the controllers, the games, the power bill. Is there a winner?
There isn't a single winner. There is only the right choice for you.
Okay, let's profile the listener then. Who buys the Xbox?
If you are budget conscious, you love RPGs, you want variety, and you want that ocean of games value from Game Pass, the Xbox Series X Elite is your best friend. It's the pragmatic powerhouse.
And the PlayStation?
If money is secondary, if you want immersion above all else, if you care about haptics, VR, and those cinematic storytelling moments,
yeah.
The PS5 Pro Max is the undisputed king of your living room. It is the luxury experience.
It's funny. In 2026, the lines are clearer than they've ever been. It's not just which plastic box is faster. It's what kind of gamer are you?
Exactly. And that leads me to a final thought I want to leave everyone with.
Go for it.
We talked about that PlayStation Plus AI feature, the one that watches you play and guides you. It's helpful now. But if the console can generate a guide to help you win, how long until the console just offers to play the difficult part for you?
Oh, well, like an autopilot for gaming.
And if the console starts playing the game for us, what does that mean for the concept of skill in 2026? Are we playing the game or are we just watching the simulation unfold?
That is a slightly terrifying thought to end on. But that's why we do these deep dives.
Indeed.
Thank you so much for listening. We hope this autopsy helps you make the right choice in the console war. We'll catch you on the next deep dive.